Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Miles, hey man, listen, thanks for wherever you are. By the way, are you back here? Are you in an airport someplace, or where you at, Miles?
Yes, we finally made it back. It was a late night. We had a late flight coming back in from Vegas last night. So it's been a long past few days.
All right, well, let me properly introduce you. Miles Garrett, Fox 5, joining me and Jason Longshore, who's sitting in for Mr. Crenshaw, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. When I initially called you, like we regularly do, we want to get your football expertise on what's going on with the playoffs and then, of course, the Super Bowl. And we'll get to that in a second, but unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that you were going out to cover the East-West Shrine Game. So, let's get a little report from you, man. I'm just going to shut up and tell us what we need to know about what you saw out there and the connection to A, Georgia, B, the Falcons.
Yeah, so unfortunately, two of the Georgia players who were out there did not play due to injuries, Kyaris Jackson and Robert Beal. They were there early in the week. Kyaris Jackson spoke to us, and he gave some pretty good answers on what it was like to be coached by the Falcons. But that was really the main reason why we were out there, to see the Falcons coaching staff. They were up against the Patriots coaching staff. But it was really interesting. We talked to them about how it's different from scouting the game versus actually coaching the game. Marquise Williams was the one sort of in charge of the whole week. Martha Smith was there supervising some things. But it seemed like they were really paying attention to the offensive and defensive lines. And I know the Falcons fans are, you know, would love to hear something like that. I know they've kind of swung and missed a couple areas on those draft picks there lately, but that's where it seemed to me that they were having a lot of emphasis this week.
How much of a benefit is it to a pro coaching staff to get that opportunity and work with these guys hands-on?
Yeah, we talked to Frank Bush, the Falcons linebackers coach, about that. A lot of other coaches gave a similar answer. It's just different in that you get to see what they're doing, you know, when they're not on the field. You know, they're coaching them in the film room this week. We talked to some receivers who were telling us they were showing them, like, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, Drake London film. Like, they were showing them what they would run when they were playing, you know, the type of offenses they would run and tips that they would teach them that some of the players said that they hadn't been aware of before. So Frank Bush gave a good answer in that you said that you see how some of these guys respond to coaching, really. You see if they take it or you see if maybe they crumble from it. They say it's kind of enlightening because you can kind of see how some prospects react to it in live action instead of, you know, just going from word of mouth from coaches or what you're seeing on film.
This has got to, and I don't know, I don't follow this and know its history, but this has got to be a unique situation where you have this game going on in the same location as the Pro Bowl going on and you have all those players out there. Was there any sort of cross connection? Did you bump into some folks that, you know, some Pro Bowl players?
Believe it or not, I actually did bump into George Kittle. But as far as this event was concerned all week, it seems like it's a very in-and-out process as far as the East-West Shrine Game and the Pro Bowl. In fact, as soon as the East-West Shrine Bowl was over, we had a live shot on the field. And they, within 30 minutes of that game ending, they were moving the field, moving media off the field to put in the Pro Bowl stuff on that, you know, on the stadium, on the field, everything out there. So it seemed like they were trying to move the East-West Shrine Game as quick as possible so they could start doing stuff for that. That was about when we were kicked off the field and sent back home. But, I'm sure maybe there was a couple players who stopped by, especially with Patriots and Falcons. Chris Lindstrom came out there a couple days ago.
Miles Garrett, Fox 5, joining Sam and Greg here. Jason Longshore this morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Miles is out in Las Vegas. Actually, he's back home now, but he was watching the East-West Shrine Game. I want to ask you, because I talked to Jason about this throughout the show, as we've got his expertise. Obviously, he's following Atlanta United, and he's the soccer expert around here. And what should fans look for, realistically, as Atlanta United starts this upcoming season. I ask you the same thing, given what we have, what they have in front of us, whether it's this game, the draft, whatever. What are some of the holes you'd like to see the Falcons address in preparing for this next season?
Yeah, and preparing for this next season, I think it's something that every Falcons fan, you know, wants. It seems like every single season this team has had, I mean, at least with the Arthur Smith, Terry Fontenot regime, that the last 2 years there was noticeable improvement. It seemed like this year that the team bought into what Arthur Smith was saying. You saw what he was doing with his rushing offense. You finally see it come to fruition a little bit with as far as what this team's identity is. I think this next season is huge because there needs to be A, a winning season, and B, playoff contention because of what this team has to work with in free agency, the cap space. They have the second most cap space in the NFL. So with all that being said, the team has been restricted for so long with who they can get and bring into the building that this year needs to be a huge prove-it season for Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot because, I mean, look at the NFC South. It's so weak right now with Tampa, with Carolina, and, you know, just – I'm blanking on the other team, the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, it's okay if I forget.
We like to blank on the Saints. It's fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, with just how weak every other team in this division is, the opportunity has never been bigger for the Atlanta Falcons the last few seasons, and they can really take advantage of it this year. I think they can need to really build up the trenches, and I think we're going to see that this offseason, and as far as the influx of talent they're going to get, just like I said, due to the cap space they have.
With all that cap space, you know, it's there's a couple different routes you can take. You can go with a big swing and a miss after a superstar, or you can go with a lot of different players to solve needs. Which way do you think the Falcons lean in this offseason?
Yeah, it's tough to tell because the Falcons keep things so close to the chest mm-hmm. when it comes to what you think they're going to do. You know, when we talk to Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith, it's hard because it seemed like last season the whole Deshaun Watson thing came out of nowhere, just as far as what their plans were and the money they had to spend. So I think that idea made a lot of Falcons fans think, and analysts as well, wonder if, you know, if a guy like Lamar Jackson right. is available, then why wouldn't they try to take a swing and a miss at a player like that? But given the circumstances and given the money that they have and areas that they can improve and what they've seen from Desmond Ridder, I think that they use it more just to, you know, get some other guys that they need that they haven't had in a long time. It just seems like the last few years they've been waiting to have all this money to spend to build up and bring in the type of players Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot want for what they're building. They seem like they have a type of player that they look for. And I see them doing that. But again, the whole Deshaun Watson thing last year, I think, threw everyone for a loop because just no one expected it. So I think if they were going for a guy like Deshaun, why would they not go for a guy like Lamar? And I will say, it seems like the Falcons have been very careful as far as how they word what they like about Desmond Ridder. They say that they like Desmond a lot, but they have not officially come out and said that, you know, he is our guy going forward. So yeah, perhaps that could be telling, perhaps it couldn't.
You're not going to start playing free agency with a quarterback position right now because what? Are you going to go after Aaron Rodgers? No. You're not going to go after, I mean,
but,
what big name out there?
But Lamar Jackson, if it's me,
dude,
you get an opportunity to go for a superstar, that's the only one that I would go after.
That's the one that you can't when you have Arthur Smith and his type of offense.
That's the
one outlier you could say of all the quarterbacks in the league who is not going to work in an Arthur Smith run offense, and that would be the guy you'd pick, even though you'd want him. But they'd have to start all over again.
Miles, how adaptable do you think Arthur Smith would be in that kind of situation if you are in a position to add one of the most talented quarterbacks going right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Arthur Smith's going to come out and say, you know, no, I won't take one of the better quarterbacks in the league to run my offense, especially when you've got a young core that is present in this offense, guys like Drake London, Pitts, Algier, Cordell Patterson, not young, but you know, they have a identity on offense that they can kind of bounce off of. That being said, you know, if Lamar Jackson or a guy like that comes in, I'm sure there's a reason Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have been very collaborative. They use that word a lot, at least when I was talking to them this week, as far as how they approach players, prospects, free agents. So whatever they're doing, they have an idea and a bigger plan for it. At least that's what I assume, and the vibe that they seem to be giving off.
Let me
I joke around with a lot of Falcons fans. I wouldn't actually be surprised if they end up signing a guy like Ryan Tannehill just because he knows
Arthur
Smith's offense
right.
and just getting a veteran in there to compete with Desmond.
Yeah. Listen, you ain't going to find a bigger Lamar Jackson fan. The junior year or sophomore year, I was sitting here telling Sam, this dude's going to win the Heisman. And then the next year, he should have won it again. And so I've been a big fan of his, but I know that, you know, we have watched what Baltimore had to do to create an offense around him. And I have to ask myself this. Is Arthur Smith ready to do that? And is he that guy who has the staff around him? Because I've only seen this happen twice. You had a coach who was so identifiable with one type of team, one type of offense, and then he pivoted because you never thought it would happen. One was Don Shula when he got this guy named Marino, and he was that 3 yards in a cloud of dust quarterback, a coach. And the other was Dick Vermeil when he went from that type of Eagles offense to what he got with the greatest show on turf. Other than that, great coaches that have had success from changing, making that pivot. I don't know. A little bit with Joe Gibbs because he had three different quarterbacks who won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But anyway, Miles, listen, we are not done with you. We're going to check in after maybe during Super Bowl Sunday and get your thoughts since we didn't get the pick this week. But listen, great job out there at the East-West Shrine Game, and thank you as always for coming on and being with us.
Yeah, Greg, sorry for being a little late this morning. Appreciate it.
That's quite
thanks,
all right.
Miles.
Quite all right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.